Chapter 19. Successful shipping line magnates travel through the glittering waters of the international jet set in grand fashion. From exotic yachts to private airliners, from magnificent villas to resplendent hotel suites, they roam the world in an unending pursuit of power and wealth. Min Koryo Bougainville cared nothing for a freewheeling lifestyle. She spent her waking hours in her office and her nights in small but elegant quarters on the floor above. She was frugal in most matters, her only weakness being a fondness for Chinese antiques. When she was 12, her father sold her to a Frenchman who operated a small shipping line consisting of 3 tramp steamers that plied the coastal ports between Pusan and Hong Kong. The line prospered, and Min Koryo bore René Bougainville 3 sons. Then the war came, and the Japanese overran China and Korea. René was killed in a bombing raid, and the 3 sons were lost somewhere in the South Pacific, after being forced into the Imperial Japanese Army. Only Min Koryo and 1 grandson, Lee Tong, survived. After Japan surrendered, she raised and salvaged one of her husband's ships, which had been sunk in Pusan Harbor. Slowly, she built up the Bougainville fleet, buying old surplus cargo ships, never paying more than their scrap value. Profits were few and far between, but she hung on until Lee Tong finished his master's degree at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business and began running the day-to-day operation. Then, almost magically, the Bougainville Maritime Lines grew into one of the world's largest fleet of ships. When their armada totaled 138 cargo ships and tankers, Lee Tong moved the principal offices to New York. In a ritual going back 30 years, he sat dutifully near her bedside in the evening, discussing the current dealings of their far-flung financial empire. Lee Tong wore the misleading look of a jolly Oriental peasant. His round, brown face split in a perpetual smile that seemed chiseled in ivory. If the Justice Department and half the federal law enforcement agencies had wanted to close the book on a backlog of unsolved maritime crimes, they would have hung him from the nearest streetlight. But oddly, none had a file on him. He skirted in the shadow of his grandmother. He was not even listed as a director or an employee of Bougainville Maritime. Yet it was he, the anonymous member of the family, who handled the dirty tricks department and built the base of the company. Too systematic to place his faith in hired hands, he preferred to direct the highly profitable illicit operations from the front rank. His act often ran on blood. Lee Tong was not above murder to achieve a profit. He was equally at home during a business luncheon at the 21 Club or at a waterfront throat-cutting. He sat a respectful distance from Min Koryo's bedside, a long silver cigarette holder planted between his uneven teeth. She disliked his smoking habit, but he clung to it, not so much as a pleasure, but as a small measure of independence. "By tomorrow, the FBI will know how the president disappeared," said Min Koryo. "I doubt it," Lee Tong said confidently. "The chemical analysis people are good, but not that good. I say closer to 3 days, and then a week to find the ship."
"Enough time so no loose threads can be traced to us?"
"Enough time, Aonumi," said Lee Tong, addressing her in the Korean term for mother. "Rest assured, all threads lead to the grave." Min Koryo nodded. The inference was crystal clear. The hand-picked team of 7 men who had aided Lee Tong in the abduction had been murdered by his own hand.
"Still no news from Washington?" she asked.
"Not a word. The White House is acting as though nothing happened. In fact, they're using a double for the president." She looked at him.
"How did you learn that?"
"The 6 o'clock news. The TV cameras showed the president boarding Air Force One for a flight to his farm in New Mexico."
"And the others?"
"They appear to have stand-ins, too."
Min Koryo sipped at a cup of tea. "Seems odd that we must depend on Secretary of State Oates and the President's Cabinet to provide a successful masquerade until Lugovoy is ready."
"The only road open to them," said Lee Tong.
"They won't dare make any kind of an announcement until they know what happened to the President."
Min Koryo stared at the tea leaves in the bottom of her cup.
"Still, I must believe we may have taken too large a bite."
Lee Tong nodded at her meaning.
"I understand, Aonumi. The congressman just happened to be fish in the same net. But not Margolin. It was your scheme to misguide him onto the yacht.
True, but Alexei Lugovoy has stated his experiments have proven successful 11 out of 15 times.
Not exactly a perfect ratio.
If he fails with the president, he has an extra guinea pig to produce the required result.
You mean 3 guinea pigs?
If you include Larimer and Moran in the rank of succession, yes.
And if Lugovoy succeeds in each case? Asked Min Koryo.
So much the better, answered Li Tong.
Our influence would reach further than we originally dared hope. But I sometimes wonder, Aonumi, if the financial rewards are worth risking imprisonment and the loss of our business.
Do not forget, grandson, the Americans killed my husband, your father, and his 2 brothers during the war.
Revenge makes a poor gambling game.
All the more reason to protect our interests and guard against double dealing by the Russians. President Antonov will do everything in his power to keep from paying our fee.
Should they be stupid enough to betray us at this crucial stage, they'd lose the whole project.
They don't think that way, said Min Koryo gravely. The communist mind thrives on mistrust. Integrity is beyond their comprehension. They're driven to take the devious path. And that, my grandson, is their Achilles heel.
What are you thinking?
We continue to play the role of their honest but gullible partner.
She paused, thinking.
And when Lugovoy's project is finished, Li Tong prompted her.
She looked up, and a crafty smile cut across her aging face. Her eyes gleamed with a cunning look.
Then we'll pull the rug from under them.